So you thought you would be clever. You thought that you would actively trade stocks, maybe something like Tesla, Carvana, Netflix, and now you're realizing probably wasn't the best idea. So now you're on YouTube and you're searching for what is an ETF? Well, consider this your intervention. We are here to help you. So today we want to talk about what is an ETF, how they work, and why we think that they are the best investment vehicle for long-term wealth.
Yeah, when you're investing, you have a number of choices of what you want to invest in. You could buy an individual stock, you could buy mutual funds, and ETFs are one of these new investment products that has taken over the world, basically. Early 2000s, we had just basically $100 billion in ETF assets.
Right.
And now there's over $6 trillion in ETFs globally.
Correct. Yeah, and ETFs, they're exchange-traded funds. You want to think of them as sort of a mutual fund. So they're like a mutual fund, except they trade on a stock exchange itself. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of benefits to that. And so we just wanted to give you just a brief idea in terms of what they are and kind of get you started on this path. So the big one is, you know, exchange traded fund, right? ETF.
Yep.
So they trade on exchange.
Yep.
They trade intraday, unlike a mutual fund, where a mutual fund only trades once a day at one single price after the market close. And then it's a fund. So you're not buying an individual security like an individual stock. Whenever you buy an ETF, you're holding a basket of securities.
Yeah, could be tens, hundreds, thousands sometimes. So, and there's some real benefits to investing this way through an ETF, right? You get instant diversification. So like you mentioned, somebody may be buying Tesla or Apple. They're buying one share of one company. They have a lot of exposure to that one sector, that one company, whether it goes good or bad. If you buy an ETF and you have a fund, you can get hundreds or thousands of companies. So you get instant diversification without you having to actually go in and do this all on your own and buy 500 different stocks, for example.
Correct.
So that's a huge perk. You have really low cost. If you look at some of the most liquid and traded ETFs, you've got a big one is IVV from iShares, VOO from Vanguard, SPY from Spiders, the biggest ETF that has over $350 billion in assets.
Right.
Those are really low cost. They're pretty much free. Right. So they're 0.03 basis points, 0.02.
Yeah. Most. Yeah. Most are very, very cheap. Yes.
Yeah.
There's always exceptions to every rule.
Absolutely. But they're generally much cheaper in terms of to be able to buy this many stocks in one basket.
Right. So to talk about just the four benefits of why you want to invest in an ETF, first one's going to be diversification.
Yep.
Second one is going to be cost, which we briefly touched upon.
Yes.
Third is going to be that trading flexibility. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth is going to be the tax efficiency. So let's go over those four real briefly.
Yeah.
So the first one is diversification, right? Obviously, if you're on this channel, if you've lost money buying an individual stock, then you're probably saying, well, maybe it's not good to put all my eggs in one basket.
Absolutely.
So one of the big benefits of buying a fund like an ETF, whether it's going to be the S&P 500 ETF or the NASDAQ, is you get to spread your bets. You get to diversify your risk so that if one company like Facebook, right? Facebook is the worst performing stock in the S&P 500 this year, down 75%.
That's not that bad. No big deal.
No biggie. Just a small bump on the road to prosperity.
It's a gully. It's a gully.
So if that goes down 75%, but you know, if you own IVV or SPY or VOO, some of the big S&P 500 ETFs out there, it doesn't really impact you that much. That's just one stock out of 500 stocks total in that fund. So that diversification is a big benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You've got lower cost. I mean, again, you're buying a basket of stocks at one really, really low cost where that fund manager, Vanguard or iShares, is going to do it all for you.
Correct.
So really low cost. And some of these big ones that you want to invest in are pretty close to free now.
Right. And so the one thing that you want to look out for to find out what that cost is called the OER, the overall expense ratio. So you could find this on Morningstar or Yahoo Finance, or even directly from that issuer. So if it's a Vanguard fund, just go to Vanguard and they'll tell you what the expense ratio is. And so if the expense ratio is what we are saying, 3 basis points, that's 0.03%. So that means that for every $1,000 that you invest in that ETF, it's going to cost you 30 cents per year for holding that fund.
Yeah. And with that, they're going to take care of all the operation, right? They're going to, as new securities come into this fund, they'll trade it out for you. Nothing you have to do, right? That's covered.
Yeah, that's covered.
Okay. So, and then trading flexibility, go over that. What's the benefits there?
So the trading flexibility is, again, one of the big features of an ETF is that it trades throughout the day. So unlike a mutual fund. So whenever you buy a mutual fund, say through your 401k plan or directly in your brokerage account, you can only buy it at one price per market day. And that's after the market's closed. So if there's a big down day or if you want to invest at a really good price, you really don't have that flexibility to do that with a mutual fund. However, with an ETF, it trades like a stock on the stock exchanges. So you can buy throughout that day. And so a lot of traders really do like ETFs because you have a lot more flexibility and options of buying at the price that you want.
Yeah. And the last one, tax efficiency, carries over into the next subject, which is how do they compare to mutual funds? How do ETFs and mutual funds compare? And the tax efficiency of an ETF is generally greater than a mutual fund because of just the way that the ETF is structured, and that you are only going to be taxed on gains when you sell that ETF, comparing to a mutual fund, which other people's decisions can impact you and your taxes.
Yeah. So the way that I like to think about it is whenever you invest in an ETF, consider it that you are driving your own car. So you are responsible for your own cost basis and therefore your capital gains if and when you decide to sell. However, if you buy a mutual fund, think of it as riding in a bus with a bunch of other investors. And so if any investors try to get off of that bus while you're still on that bus, they can create capital gain events where you might be responsible for that. And so you tend to see this percolate a lot during down markets. So this is a down year. And so we're starting to hear reports of clients saying, hey, like, I'm actually down on my investments. However, I'm getting hit with these capital gains.
And I didn't sell anything, right?
And I didn't sell anything.
I just sat here holding my fund like I was supposed to. And I'm getting a report now from the fund company saying you're going to have this huge tax event.
And it's usually these mutual funds that have been around forever. And so they happen to buy, you know, Apple stock or Google stock at really low basis. And so whenever people start to exit those funds, then these other investors that are still in there have to pay those capital gain prices.
Yeah. So, when I think of why to invest in ETFs, the tax efficiency is one of the biggest reasons why I would do it.
And most of them are index funds themselves. So there's a lot less turnover inside of these ETFs. So it just creates less taxable events inside those funds.
So, absolutely. Okay. So we talked a little bit about ETFs and mutual funds and how do they compare, but it's still a big question people have is I've heard of mutual funds, I've heard of index funds, and now I'm hearing about ETFs. What's the difference? So we know taxes are very different. A mutual fund, you're not necessarily in control of your tax bill, whereas an ETF, you have more control. So that's one big difference. But another key difference is just the overall philosophy of the two. A mutual fund, generally speaking, has a manager on one end of that fund, and they're trying to actively pick stocks to select what to put into that mutual fund that they think are going to beat the market.
Correct. Yes, the whole active versus passive debate. So again, these are generalities. So, but most mutual funds are actively managed, meaning that there is a fund manager with a team of analysts and they're trying to beat the market, whether their benchmark is the S&P or the Russell or whatever it is. And so you're paying for that. And that's why fees are generally a lot higher inside of mutual funds.
Yeah, you might have 200 people on a staff of PhDs and MBAs that are trying to pick stocks to beat the S&P 500.
Yeah. And research shows, I mean, this is a topic for another day. Research shows that most of them don't pan out, right? Most active managers don't do well, especially whenever you consider that fee. Yeah. However, ETFs, in general, most ETFs are passively managed, meaning that they're just there to recreate the benchmark itself. And so over time, research has shown if you just buy the benchmark, you're going to have better performance versus trying to actively manage and beat the benchmark itself.
Yeah.
So that's the big takeaway between the mutual fund and the ETF.
Yeah. One, you're being more passive, thinking I'm going to invest in a benchmark, the S&P 500, and I don't think I'm going to beat the benchmark. And I don't think that anybody else is probably going to beat that benchmark.
Correct.
Because it's pretty clear that they don't. So I'm going to just get an ETF, keep my costs really low, be tax efficient, and I'm going to go on my way knowing I've got a good investment set up here, right?
Yeah.
Mutual fund. They're trying to pick stocks. They cost a lot more because of that. That creates a drag on your performance. Yeah. And they're not quite as tax efficient.
Not quite.
Okay.
Most are not quite by a long shot. No.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're not.
So let's, are we going to break down fees just a little bit more and how like, yeah, the fee structure is?
There's, I think always, this is important. There's always more costs, right? There's always some costs involved. So if you try to buy an ETF, right, you have to, first of all, open a brokerage account, right? So you got to have an account open, an IRA, a Roth IRA, just an individual or joint account. Mm-hmm. You know, that could be something like at TD Ameritrade, Schwab, Fidelity, Vanguard.
Yeah.
And then when you're going to go buy an ETF, there's a couple costs to be aware of. One might be, there might be a trade commission cost. So something that that brokerage firm charges. A lot are zero now.
Most have gotten rid of them.
Most are zero, but some still have occasionally a charge. Then you might have that OER that you mentioned.
That'd be like the $8.95 or $15 per trade kind of thing.
So, pretty much all free.
But most of the discount brokerages like the Schwabs and Fidelities have gotten rid of those commission charges. So you should be able to buy these commission free, but be on the lookout for that. Definitely do your research before you actually trade the ETF.
Yeah. Then you've got that OER, that operating expense ratio. So that's going to be something where you'll see that number. It's represented in a percentage. If you get something like the S&P 500.
Yep. And that's where you go to, that's where you go onto Yahoo Finance or Morningstar. You actually go to the actual fund provider page itself. And this is how these ETF themselves make their money. Mm-hmm. So the commission charge is where the brokerage firm makes their money.
Yep.
But the OER, the overall expense ratio, is where the actual fund provider makes their money. And because they're only recreating a benchmark, their fees can be a lot less. That's how you get that fee break, is because they're really not doing too much.
No.
Like once a quarter, they're rebalancing, but that's about it.
Yeah. So. And then that's going to be an annual charge, right? So that's not a one-time charge. When you see that, that's going to be as long as you have that account.
That OER is an annual rate, but generally they charge that at such a small daily rate, you don't really see that expense.
Exactly.
It's almost minuscule. Now let's talk about this hidden expense that a lot of people don't consider.
I know, that's a good one. The bid-ask spread. This is one most people have never heard of or don't realize what's actually going on.
A lot of investors and traders learn this the hard way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's not always as clear if there's this ETF or a share of Apple and I see it trading at $100 that I can just go buy it at $100, right?
Right.
It doesn't always work that way.
Yeah. So there's the bid-ask spread. It's just the spread between what is the seller willing to sell it for, the ask, versus what is the buyer waiting to buy it for, the bid. And so that spread is sort of that inherent cost difference. So think of it as like whenever you're trying to buy a house. Right? The seller's trying to ask a certain price, whereas you're trying to buy it for a lower price. Somewhere in the middle, you know, hopefully you can kind of get that, you know, kind of, you can kind of keep that cost a little bit lower. So it's not that big of a cost, but usually it comes down to liquidity. So if an ETF is illiquid, meaning what is the general volume, how many people are actually buying and selling this ETF every day, the more liquid an ETF is, the tighter that bid-ask spread is. So that's a good indication of, you know, if you want to keep this bid-ask spread cost low, generally you want to buy an ETF that is very liquid. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of activity going on. But if you're going to try to buy some obscure ETF where there's only, say, 50,000 shares being traded per day, you should expect a very large bid-ask spread.
And yeah,
that's just the cost.
This would be similar to if you want to buy stocks, right? If you want to buy Apple stock, there's so many people buying and trading it. You could just place a market order online and you're going to get basically within a penny what it's saying. Whereas if it's, as you mentioned, a more obscure company, some small company that doesn't have a lot of people trading
A manufacturer in Ohio.
Yeah, you'd have to pay attention to, wow, if I just submit this order to sell this stock, there might be nobody in line to buy it for this price and it's going to automatically be sold to.
And if you put in a market order, you're going to be paying that price.
So it's a cost people need to be aware of that they don't realize exists.
Right.
Okay. All right. Yep. Now, what types of ETFs are there? Is it purely just an index tracking ETF?
Yeah. So there's these passive ETFs and then you also have these active ETFs, which
it's a new thing.
It's a new thing. So the most famous one is probably ARK, right? Wouldn't you say Kathy Wood's ARK fund?
ARK is probably the one that's most well known.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, she had a fantastic rise throughout 2020, 2021 and a even more fantastic fall.
It's been quite the fall.
It's been quite
spectacular. Wow.
So you could buy anything from stocks, U.S. stocks, to international stocks, to bonds, to commodities, to
gold.
Futures. You could go, gold, real estate. I mean, you could go long, you could go short, you can ramp up the leverage, you could go one times, two times, three times the daily movement, which we don't recommend. Never do that. You could go inverse, meaning you could go short the market,
yep,
or bond market or gold market, whatever, which again, we don't really recommend either unless you really know what you're doing. So there's a lot of ETFs out there. How many ETFs are there? I think I wrote this down.
There's for sure over 2,000.
2,600.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at the end of 2021, 2,600 different ETFs. And keep in mind that on the New York Stock Exchange, there's only 2,500 stocks traded on the New York Stock Exchange. So there's an ETF for everybody out mm-hmm. there.
Yeah. So 2,600 ETFs. There's about 700 of these partially transparent ones now, which is the new trend. The ETF yes. structure did so well and got so popular that now some managers from mutual fund companies are trying to convert their mutual funds to ETFs, right? Yes. And so you're now seeing a lot of lobbying.
That's where the fund flows are.
Because they want to create an ETF that they can actively trade and have not full transparency in. So you're seeing a few hundred of these types of funds pop up.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, the great part about ETFs is ignoring that stuff and doing the simple, low yeah, cost.
Yeah, we don't really dive into that. I mean, there's a reason why we buy what we buy.
Yeah. Right?
Because you want to have transparency. Well, what am I actually buying? Like what?
Yeah.
If I'm going to be buying this actively managed ETF, which is, you know, pretty rare, but if you do, you want to know what are they actually doing? What are they buying?
And the data won't change. Yeah. A mutual fund manager that's underperformed for years is not going to magically outperform when he converts to an ETF.
Unless they get lucky.
It's the same story.
Unless God graces that manager.
That would be nice. But there still are. There's over 7,000 mutual funds. So it's still a mutual yes. fund heavy industry. Yes. ETFs, again, have gone from $100 billion 20 years ago
to
over $6 trillion, and they hit $7 trillion last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have huge growth.
Mutual funds are still the big 800-pound gorilla. They got $27 trillion under management.
Yeah. It's just tough for that money to move. People just end up
they've been around for decades and decades.
So. You've got a lot of 401k money tied into mutual funds. 401ks generally prefer mutual funds.
For some reason.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen whether it be liquidity, intraday trading, and plus it's just that momentum. It's just already that way, right?
So maybe low basis, so people don't want to sell for taxes. That's another reason why.
Yeah, it's just an interesting setup. Yeah. So mutual funds are still huge, but ETFs are a great way to invest in the market, a great way to build wealth in the market,
yeah,
and a really good thing to look at when you're thinking, how should I invest my money?
Yeah, and that's what we do. I mean, we're an ETF shop, yeah. You know? Primarily, we primarily buy only ETFs because we believe in it. We believe in the structure. We believe that it's a great product and a great way to build that long-term wealth. So
yeah,
that's it.
Yep. That's it.
That's it.
Thanks for watching. Let us know if you have any questions.
Yep. We appreciate your time. Thank you.